Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live tonight. We're glad to be in here on a chilly evening. We are live around the world on WWRB 3.185. We're glad to have you. And tonight, the message, the controlling factor of the creation, part 4. You don't want to miss it. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that we're on the air. We're going to tell you about some of the things that we believe that would sum up our message for you in the fourth part. We're going to do the fifth part perhaps tomorrow night, but we're going to do the fourth part tonight in this relationship. The complexity of our planet begs for someone to scream at the top of their voice that a deliberate designer who not only created our universe but sustains it this very moment. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so wonderful to know that we have an intelligent being in charge of our whole universe, not only this little speck of a dot right here, but we have the whole universe and someone in charge of it. We begin our service tonight talking about, three nights ago in part one, we talked about in the beginning, God, Yahweh in a flesh body, He made the heavens and the earth and everything that was within them, and He made us fearfully and wonderfully. Now, I'd like to give you just a few examples as we prove, we think that we prove. You see, God is to be taken on faith. Nobody's ever seen Him. We've not seen His shape or heard His voice at any time, although He speaks in so many subtle ways, like He did to the prophet Elijah when He spoke to him in the cave and told him to go up to the mountaintop, and there they had a showdown on Mount Carmel. You ever thought about the size of the earth? Why it's like it is? It's perfect. The earth's size and corresponding gravity holds a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen gases, only extending 50 miles above the Earth's surface. If Earth was smaller, an atmosphere on the Earth would be impossible. Like the planet Mercury, if Earth was larger, its atmosphere would contain free hydrogen, just like Jupiter. Earth is the only known planet that we know of equipped with an atmosphere of the right mixture of gases to sustain plant, animal, and human life. The Earth is located at the right distance from the sun. Have you ever thought about that? If you consider the temperature swings that we encounter, roughly 30 degrees to plus 120 degrees, if the Earth were any farther away from the sun, we would all freeze to death. If it was any closer, we would burn up. You think about an intelligent design like I do,
Even a fractional variance in the Earth's position to the sun would make life on Earth impossible. The Earth remains the perfect distance from the sun while it rotates around the sun at a speed of nearly 67,000 miles per hour. Incredible. Do you have a feeling that you're going through space at 67,000 miles per hour? Well, you know that 6 and 7 is 13. And the 13-acre edifice that I've talked about in Part 2 is representative of the 13 cycles that is mentioned in the Mayan calendar, which was a calendar that is to end in 2012, December the 21st, at 11:11. And ladies and gentlemen, the Earth moving as it is also rotating, like I described to you in Part 3, on its axis around the entire surface of the Earth to be properly warmed and cooled every day. And if you think that this is not an intelligent, you know, the more we find out about the situation, Earth, nature, and as we marvel at some of these things that we're discussing tonight, it just makes me appreciate my Heavenly Father that much more. Our moon, which is parked in a peculiar orbit, it does things that it shouldn't do, but it's a perfect size also, and the distance from the Earth for its gravitational pull. The moon creates important ocean tides and movement, so ocean waters do not stagnate. And yet our massive oceans are restrained from spilling over across the continents. The water is colorless, odorless, and without taste, and yet no living thing can survive without it. Plants, animals, and human beings consist mostly of water. About two-thirds of the human body is water. Now, if we look at the characteristics of water, which is uniquely suited for life, it is unusually high at its boiling point and freezing point. Water allows us to live in an environment of fluctuating temperature changes while keeping our bodies a steady 98.6 degree. I'm telling you, this is just amazing. Water is a universal solvent. This property of water means that thousands of chemicals, minerals, and nutrients can be carried throughout our bodies and into the smallest blood vessels. Water is also chemically neutral, without infecting the makeup of the substances that it carries. Water enables food, medicines, and minerals to be absorbed and used by the body. Our body is fearfully and wonderfully made. And you think that there's not an intelligent design? Now, water has a unique surface tension. Water in plants, therefore, flows upward against gravity, bringing life-giving water and nutrients to the top of even the tallest trees. And some trees can store thousands of gallons in its tree trunks. Water freezes from the top down and floats so fish can live in the winter. Isn't that something? Don't freeze from the bottom up. It freezes from the top down, and it floats so that fish, if you've ever ice fished on a river, you know what I'm talking about. The fish can live with this canopy of ice frozen solid over the water. It's amazing. 97% of the Earth water is in the oceans. But on our Earth, there is a system designed which removes salt from the water and then distributes that water throughout the globe. It's amazing. Evaporation takes the ocean waters, leaving the salt, and forms clouds which are easily moved by the wind to disperse water over the land. You ever thought about the Creator that waters the earth? His eyes run to and fro in the earth, the Bible says. And yet there's atheists walking on the very thing that He created and denying His existence. For vegetation, water provides vegetation, animals, and supports people. It's a system of purification, and it supplies and sustains life on this planet. It's a system of recycled and reused water, because not one drop of water is being made that we can find anywhere. The human brain, think about that, simultaneously processes an amazing amount of information. Your brain takes in all the colors and objects that you see, the temperature around you, the pressure at your feet against the floor, the sounds around you, the dryness of your mouth, even the texture of your keyboard. Your brain holds and processes all of your emotions, thoughts, your memories, and at the same time, your brain keeps track of the ongoing functions of your body, like your breathing pattern. It's just like an ongoing function. Eyelid movement, hunger, and movement of the muscles in your hands. The human brain processes more than a million messages from around you and your surroundings, including inside your body, 1 million messages a second. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And most people don't believe that God exists because they've never seen Him. Your brain weighs the importance of all this data, filtering out the relatively unimportant. This screening function is what allows you to focus and operate effectively and steadily in your world. The brain functions differently than all other organs. There is an intelligence to it. The ability to reason, to produce feelings, to dream, to plan, to take action, to relate. And yet, we only use 10% of the capacity of the brain. 90% of our brain, for some unknown reason, lays dormant. And yet, with 10% of this marvelous organ in the body, it has such a brain function, gives us all of these reasons to produce feelings, to dream, to plan, to take action, to relate. How has this brain been evolving from some little old glob of matter that the intelligent people of our earth like to say that there is no intelligent being that made us? We don't have a father. We don't have this in the beginning God created the earth. The very denial of the first verse in the Bible, you would be amazed to find out how many people would disagree with that very scripture. Now, one of the things that really, I never can get over looking in someone's eye. The eye can distinguish among 7 million variant colors. 7 million. The eye. It has automatic focusing.
It's amazing how it sees. I have always marveled. It focuses and handles an astonishing 1 million messages simultaneously. Evolution focuses on mutations and changes from and within existing organisms. Yet evolution alone does not fully explain the initial source of the eye or the brain that is coordinated together and the start of the living organisms from non-living matter. Now, question. Does Yahweh exist? Did the universe have a start? Do you know what caused it? Scientists are convinced, listen to this now, they're convinced that our universe began with one enormous explosion of energy and light, which we now call the Big Bang Theory. This was the singular start to everything that exists and the beginning of the universe, the start of space, and even the initial start of time itself. Anthropologist Robert Jastrow, a self-described agnostic, stated, "The seed of everything that has happened in the universe was planted in the first instant. Every star, every planet, and every living creature in the universe came into being as a result of events that were set in motion in the moment of the cosmic explosion. The universe flashed into being, and we cannot find out what caused that to happen." Steven Weinberg, a Nobel Prize in literature in physics, said at the moment of this giant explosion, the universe was about 100,000ths of a million degrees centigrade, and the universe was instantly filled with light. Now, if you remember, I started the creation message in part one and told you that there is no darkness in our Father. That's what the Bible said. In Him is no darkness, but light. Steven Weinberg, a Nobel Prize in physics, said the moment of the explosion, the whole universe was filled with light. Now, the Bible said the earth became in the first 4 days of its existence, there was no light anywhere, except the spiritual light in a physical matter. When light moved, it shook. When light became reality to our physical being, which the fourth day the sun and the moon had not always existed. It had a start, but it didn't start till the fourth day. So therefore, the earth was void and in darkness, but the Creator originally, who had to create it in light, and when He came back in and set in motion the reestablishment of light, because Satan, the opposite that brought darkness, and here they say the universe had not always existed. For something to be made out of nothing, the worlds was framed by faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Much of life, sometimes, to a lot of us, it seems uncertain. But look at what you can count on a day after day after day. Gravity remains consistent. A hot cup of coffee left on the counter will get cold. The earth rotates in the same 24 hours. And the speed of light doesn't change. On earth or in our galaxies far from us, how can we identify the laws of nature that never change? Why is the universe so orderly and so reliable? Not all of the stars out there
And the Bible said, not one fails. What a divine order. The greatest of our scientists have been struck by how strange this is. There is no logical or necessity for a universe that obeys rules, let alone one that abides by the rules of mathematics. This astonishment springs from the recognition that the universe doesn't have to behave this way. It is easy to imagine a universe in which conditions change unpredictably from instant to instant, or even a universe in which things pop in and out of existence. Who brought this divine order? Who called to the deep? Who hung the earth and suspended it in nothing? Richard Feynman, a Nobel Prize winner for quantum electromagnetics, said, "Why nature is mathematical is a mystery. The fact that there are rules at all of this is a kind of miracle." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, kind of a miracle? Does Yahweh exist? What about the DNA code informs, programs, and a cell's behavior, which got this from some beginning of, it seems to me, it just wasn't a haphazard evolvement. All instructions, all teaching, and all training comes with intent. Someone who writes an instructional manual does so with a purpose. Did you know that in every cell of our bodies, there exists a very detailed instruction code, much like a miniature computer program? Now, you know that a computer program is made up of ones and zeros, like 1100101010110000. In other words, one. One God. If you believe that there's one God, you believe well, for the devil believes and trembles. But yet man has invented three gods, or many gods. And the Bible says that there are many lords and many gods, so-called. But the way that our whole body, our DNA structure, it's arranged to tell the computer program that has been put on us what to do. The DNA code in each of our cells is very similar. It's made up of four chemicals that scientists abbreviate as A, T, G, and C. These are arranged in the human cell like this: C, G, T, G, T, G, ACT, CGC, TCC, TGAT. Oh man, I'm struck with the ACT, the act of the body to perform. You will take on your characteristics through the genetic codes. There are 3 billion of these letters in every human cell. I want to repeat that. You think there's not an intelligent running this universe in uniform code? Everything is functioned and programmed by this great, marvelous being that we call God. 3 billion letters in every human cell that they've extracted. The C, the G, the T, the GT, the G, A, CT, C, G, C, T, C, C, T, G, A, T. Now let me count those. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 91.
is 10, right back reverting to the 1-1-0-0-1-0-1-0-1-1-0-0-0. At 11:11 on December the 21st, in 2012, we're going to have an astrological event which will basically change the human structure, the cells, and they're programmed to act a certain way. The Bible said in that time, much knowledge will be increased. Will we have a reconnection to some of the brain instructions that has been blocked to the human mind that only uses 10%? Think about if you had 90, if you had full 100% capacity of the brain. Oh my, man, it's unreal what we could do. What about Adam? I believe he was operating on 100% capacity. And yet through the fall, 90% of some of the instructions or the program, somebody pulled the plug on about 90% of his capacity. The chemicals that instruct the code in a very detailed way exactly how the body should develop its eyes, its nature, its color. Natural biological causes are completely lacking as an explanation when programmed information is involved. You cannot find instruction, precise information like this, without someone intentionally constructing and designing it and placing it in our bodies. Now, does Yahweh exist? We know that He exists because He pursues us. He is constantly initiating and seeking for us to come to Him. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If you're His children, my sheep know my voice. That's a DNA. That's a structured instruction from the foundation of the world. My sheep are on my DNA code book from the foundation of the world. And to some He said, you're not my sheep. How can that be? Now, let's say an atheist would perspective. Like many atheists, the issue of people believing in God bothers us. What is it about atheists that we would spend so much time and attention and energy refuting something that we don't believe even exists? I mean, they go out of their way to say that there's not an intelligent creation. What causes that in atheists? Let's say that you're an atheist and you have intentions as caring for those delusional people that believe in a God. So you must help them realize that their hope was completely ill-founded. And if you look at this, you got to have another motive. If you challenge those who believe in God, you become deeply curious to see if they could convince you otherwise if you're an atheist. That's part of the attraction to prove that there is not a God, to hear your response in proving by faith without sight that there is. Part of an atheist's quest is to become free from the question of God. If it could conclusively prove to the believers that they were wrong, then the issue is off the table. And you'd be free to go on in denial. Or at least you would feel more comfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot feel comfortable by believing that you are not part of a universe. Let's continue. Does He exist? Now, listen. If you experience the socialist and the philosophical author and get into the mind of Malcolm Muggeridge, when he wrote, I had a notion that somehow, besides questing, I was being pursued. C.S. Lewis said he remembered night after night feeling whatever my mind lifted, even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of the master intelligence of whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. I gave in and admitted that God was God. And I knelt and prayed, and perhaps that night the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England came to the realization that he exists. Lewis went on to write a book entitled Surprised by Joy as a result of knowing his Creator. He had no expectations other than rightfully admitting that Yahweh existed. And yet over the following several months, he said, I became amazed that he had this special love for me. Does Yahweh exist? Unlike any other revelation of our Creator, the Messiah is the clearest and most specific picture of revealing His presence to us. Why? If you look throughout the major world religions, you'll find that the Buddha, Mohammed, Confucius, Moses, they all identify themselves as teachers or prophets. None of them ever claimed to be equal to God. Surprisingly, the Messiah came and said not only was he equal, but he was God. And that's what sets apart the living Messiah who was in a flesh body from all the other religions. He's the only one that made that claim. He said that our Father exists, and you're looking at Him. When they said, when you see me, you see that Father who created all things in the beginning. Surprisingly, the Messiah said, this is what sets us apart from all others. When he talked about his Father in heaven, it was not from the position of separation, but a very close union. He said, the Father is with me. The Father is in me. I am the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. Unique. The message that is unique to all mankind, that God the Father would care enough to send Himself in a flesh body as the Son and walk in that body and look out of the eyes of that body and look at you and look at the rejection and look at the envy and look at the spite and look at the hatred that was thrown and hurled toward Him, the one that helped the whole position of the universe in His hand, just like Him would spin a basketball on your finger. At any point, that basketball could lose its rotation or gravitation and creation would crash. Without Him, we're nothing. With Him, we are equal with Him in everything. He said, believe on me, for I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Remember, the first of the creation days were in darkness. And that creation became dark. It was a caused motion of darkness that was created somewhere outside the Father. The Bible said that Satan loves darkness. Who was lurking in the darkness of the creation, standing in opposition against the great I Am, the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, these attributes were belonging only to God the Father. To be able to give people a reprieve of their sin, to free them from their habits of sin. People who have a more abundant life and give them eternal life in heaven, unlike other teachers who focused people on their words, the Messiah pointed people to himself. He did not say, "Follow my words and you will find the truth." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And no one comes to the eternal beginning, which is the Father, who created all things as a spirit, but through me. You've got to accept that God the Father was in that marvelous body that was so despised and hated by those who did not know him. Now, if you want to look at the proof of the Messiah give and for claiming to be divine, listen to this now. He claimed to be divine. Oh, you say, Pastor Buddy, why would he say that? Why would he say that he's divine? What kind of proof did he give? What did people look on him? What did he do that people can't do? He performed miracles. He healed people. The blind, the crippled, the deaf, the dead. He had power over objects, created food out of thin air, enough to feed several thousand people. He performed miracles over nature. He walked on top of a lake. He commanded a raging storm to stop for some of his friends and saved a man's life who had tried to imitate him. People everywhere followed the Messiah because he constantly met their needs doing the miraculous. He said, if you do not want to believe what I'm telling you, you should at least believe in me based on the miracles that you see me do. He showed that the God in him, the Father, was gentle, was loving, was caring, was aware of our self-centeredness and shortcomings, yet deeply wanting a relationship with us. The Messiah revealed that although God views us as sinners, worthy of his punishment and rejection, his love ruled because while we were in our sins, he loved us. He came up with perhaps a planned event. And as many loving fathers would gladly trade places with their child if a cancer ward was taking their life, the Bible says that the reason that we love him is because he first loved us. Now that means a structural pattern or a program in you to love Yahweh. All people can't love him. He died in our place so that we could be forgiven, to open up a way, to draw us to him through his love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. This is what I am. Faith in action. Does he exist? Well, if you want to know, just read about the account of the Messiah. We're told that he loved us good enough to lay down his life for us. Was that programmed into only one individual? No. We would love gladly to lay down our life for our friends. You would jump in front of a train to push your loved one out of the way and hazard your life to save someone else's. You have the characteristics if you belong to the Father. If you want a relationship with him, then turn to Him. Walk toward Him, seek Him, draw near to Him. You'll find that this Creator who created everything, and we've talked about the creation and the miracles and the marvelous mysteries that go with this creation, and some of the things that we don't understand. And I told you from the onset that to find out where you're going, you've got to find out where you've been, to walk upright, to love Him, to serve Him. And if you don't love your brother and sister whom you have seen, how can you love him whom you've not seen? It's a walk of faith, but it's also a walk of action. Faith without works is dead, being alone. But if you mix your faith and perform actions, being positive, preaching the truth, revealing the things that are hated, revealing the things that are despised, calling forth before the good things that Yahweh's laid up for those that love Him and serve Him. And ladies and gentlemen, if the eye could see, if the ear could hear, what's laid up for them that love and serve Him, what a wonderful, wonderful relationship that we now have with our Heavenly Father. If you believe in the Father, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Look out. Look at the structure of the universe. Even the works that you see declares that He is the reason for the believing, that it was programmed into you from the foundation of the world. You are my sheep. You will hear my voice. And you will follow me. And a stranger, an atheistic way. You will not go that way. You may want to. You may want to run from Him like Jonah. Jonah spent a long time in the deep thinking about his life. He tried to end it. He tried to commit suicide. The Bible said, if I dig into hell, He's there. If I rise to the highest heavens, He's there. There's not a place in the world that you can hide. But the question is, why would you want to hide from the God of glory? Why would you want to hide from He who come seeking the lost sheep? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Adam hid because he sinned. But remember this, He made a promise to Adam, I will return as the second Adam from heaven, and I will save you, I will redeem you, I will bring you back into the fold for all that the Father, the Eternal Spirit, in the beginning has given me, will be with me in those mansions that are prepared from the foundation of the world. That new Jerusalem, if you love Him, keep His commandments. Prove that you love Him. Do the works of an evangelist. Reach out. Evangelize the people. Reach out to them. You never know when you're going to touch a sheep. You may have to go through 5 goats to get 1 sheep. But that 1 sheep who repents is worth all of the other sheep that are in the fold. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a foregone conclusion that when I've studied this creation factor, that it's impossible for me, who have tasted of the power of the worlds to come and have been caught up in heavenly places to fellowship and to sip with Him and to sit on His throne with Him, thinking it not robbery to be equal with Him. He invited me to His mansion. He invited me to His home. He invited me into His heart. And when I got there, I found that I'd been there all along. I just went out and tried to find my way, tried to separate myself, tried to do my thing. But when I come obedient to that heavenly calling, like Jonah, I had to return and preach the gospel with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. So it's patterned in me The first commandment is to hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. That is the pattern code of the genetics placed within the realm of 11001100011. The sum of the matter is, if you believe that there is one God, one Yahweh, one Creator, one Father, who was in the body called the Son, reconciling Himself into all the world, that He might share His love for you, His sheep, from the foundation of the world. It's a relationship. It's permanent. You can't escape it. It's programmed into your genes. I was born a king. I was born to serve Him. I was born to love Him and love my brothers and sisters of whom I am that I am. I am because He is. He exists in the creation. Look for Him at your favorite place. Watch Him as He stands on a distant star and raises His hand and salutes you and invites you to come. Enter into my blessings that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it wonderful? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It is so wonderful. It's like joy unspeakable. And it's full of glory. It is something that I'd like to share with you right at this moment. I want you just to listen to this song. I'll play you just a little bit of it, and I've got to get off here. But this song is so beautiful, and it's so appropriate at this point right now. Listen to the word. Who is holding up the moon? Who is peeling back the darkness? The burning light up. Who is standing on the mountains? Who is on the earth below? Who is bigger than the heavens? And the lover of my soul. Creator of God, He is Yahweh. The great I am, He is Yahweh.
Hallelujah! Oh yes, magnify, glory! Hallelujah!
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful creator. His name is glorious. It's powerful. It is the only name given in the universe whereby that you can be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight you've got our message, part four of the creation factor. And now we've told you who did it and why he came to hunt you, that you could be part of his creation, because he programmed you into his heart. And when he bowed his head and said it's finished, that was the end of the program. But it's forever settled that you are in his heart, and you are in his mind, and you are in his plans in the future, that he said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey, down in the great state of Mississippi. Sent it to you as a wonderful love gift from them with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. And we greet you in this magnanimous, magnificent name of the Father, the Creator of all things. If you'd like to write me tonight, simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live here tonight on a Tuesday evening, late in the evening, but it never gets too late to praise Yahweh. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is great among his children. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to have this series of the creation factor, you just call or you write Pastor Buddy, and I'll be glad to send it to you for the benefit of your soul. Yahweh is the one that is coming, and he's coming on a cloud, and he's going to seek them that would love him. He's going to seek them that would serve him, and he's going to praise his name in your heart, and you're going to shout for joy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 o'clock around the world with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Until then, Yahweh bless you, and I love you.